Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We all have another wonderful day to hear from the Lord as He speaks from the heart. The Lord gives us living opportunities that we may go forward in life. Every opportunity we have to be a blessing is another chance to start a fire for God. The more we value people, the more we sense their needs. I'm gonna say that again. The more we value people, the more we sense their needs. And when we look at people from in an objective way, in the frame of love, we get concerned about what's important to them and for them. Now, the things that's important to them are the things they desire the most. And the things that's important for them is all the wonderful things of God. And Christian people can be so misunderstood because their enemy, Satan, slanders people. He slanders Christians to sinners. He gives the sinners a feeling that we want to control them, or we think we're better than them, or, you know, we look down on them, and we're just trying to make it like they are. They're just trying to have a good time, and sometimes they get caught up in selfishness or things that will kill them, and we know it's going to hurt them. And we have more revelation of how sin will affect them than they do. See, when people, you can be satisfied with anything. And when you're satisfied with little, you try to protect it. Now, everything we know on this earth is small. Wars are being fought over crumbs. But the greater things in life are revealed as we draw near to the Lord. The greater things in life that makes life go will be revealed if we pay more attention to the Lord. I don't say that lightly. You can take a man that's barely getting along. If he fills his heart with the love of God and the Word of God, that man can be the owner of an industry. He can start a business that can turn into a factory, that can turn into an industry, that can turn into a franchise. It's been done before. Businessmen is not just knowing how to buy and sell. True business comes from following Jesus. If you study the Sermon on the Mount and practice it, you will become one of the best businessmen ever. The wisdom in the Sermon on the Mount can turn you into a very industrious person. The greater things in life can be accomplished if we do it God's way. Learning to operate in forgiveness and self-control and patience. Learning to operate in these things is key. There's no limit to how much you can receive if you set things in order. And the enemy don't want people to learn how to be industrious people. He don't want them to learn what life is. As long as they don't know what life is, he can fool them. He can trick them. He can deceive them. And deception is when you trust darkness. And that's what he does. He slanders because he can't win. And the more people get saved, the more people he lose. So he fights people. That's where the evil influences come from. And all you have to do to win in this life and overcome in your life, the main thing is to hear God's word and do it. That's where you put your best efforts. It doesn't matter what you're doing in life to succeed as far as career or whatever you do, your business, whatever it is. It's gonna take a lot of effort of its own. But if you structure your life according to God's word, you'll learn to structure your business or your job or whatever you do, even your learning process, you'll learn to structure it according to the word. And the word of God will help you heal in every relationship. A living process of healing has started in you from the day you believed on Jesus Christ. And the Lord's word will show you how to continue it. See, the word of God is the knowledge of love. And actually, love is really a verb. A better word for love is charity, because that's love in action. So charity, not just giving to people, giving your stuff away, but it's what you do to help people solve their problems. And people need the wisdom of God more than they need your finances. They need to see a visual of what God's word is, what God's love is. And see, the love of God, if it's expressed towards them, that's not something that they can easily forget. And some things they'll never forget, because so many people have taken the lesser road. If you operate in the love of God, you're going to see things changing people. You're going to see a better side of life. Learning the things of God, learning His ways, learning His wisdom, it puts you in another category. It sets you apart. It sanctifies you. And it's obvious that things are going right. You're doing the right things for the right reasons. Now, the enemy can't stop it, so he always tries to slander it or make people feel like there's some evil motive behind it. But there is never an evil motive behind the love of God. And people will watch you and look for and see if there's something you're doing, see if you're putting on. You can't fake faith. And you can't fake love. Unfeigned love cannot be. There's no sin behind it. There's no sin in it. And that's why it looks so peculiar to the world. Why are you doing this? Why do you care about me? My closest relatives don't care about me like you care about me. That's the way they're going to feel. And that's going to go on for a while. So just because people don't receive everything you say right off, they're behind a wall of deception. The enemy, he couldn't stop you from being like Jesus. So he tries to find fault with it. And if you do anything that seems wrong, he'll magnify it in the eyes of others, if he can, and if he realizes he has a chance to. And sometimes the devil really don't realize what's out there. He's not as smart as he portrays himself to be. He's one person. He can only deal with one matter at a time. Actually, we fight demons. But whenever you hear me say I stop Satan, I tell Satan to stop. If I command him to stop, his whole structure has to stop. That's the easiest way to fight him. See, if I just rebuke one devil, he'll just send another one. I tell Satan to stop. And I mean it. I command him. And he has to stop his whole process at my order. At my order. Because I said it in Jesus' name. And I'm on the earth. I have a breathing body. I have authority here. And I have a right to do that. I can use Jesus' name whenever I want to. God gave me Jesus' name as a grace. And His grace is sufficient. And I can always stop Satan at my order. Now I have to believe it. I have to believe the word. If you get in deception, or sin, it won't work right. Because if you're not subject to God, then he don't have to listen to you. You'll take authority over him, but he'll hang around because there's something attached to him. He may have to leave at your order on that, but he's still around for something else. All forms of sin connect you to the enemy, to the dark side. Unforgiveness is one of them. Because we all have sin, we all have things we hadn't dealt with yet. There are sins still around, even though Jesus broke it. Our mind still thinks the same way. And our habit system hadn't been healed yet in most cases. But our heart was made brand new. Now we can work those other troubles out as we learn the Word of God. And we do that by faith. That takes time. So sins are around, and then our past sins. But if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. And that needs to be preached more, because people think that, well, I'm saved and I have a right to not forgive people if I don't want to. Now I'm going to name some things people don't forgive. Sometimes that spouse. You have to live with your spouse, and they can be aggravated. Because we in our culture, we have to learn to yield to people. We have to learn to love with that unfeigned love all the time. And most people haven't mastered it yet. And they feel threatened and offended sometimes, and they're not motivated to forgive because of the aggravation. But forgiving it has to be a way of life. And I'm gonna tell you another little secret that's gonna keep people even out of heaven if they don't forgive the politicians, political leaders. People think that they have the right to slander and say anything they want to about a person that they don't agree with. And they never met them, they just heard about them on TV. And sometimes they don't even pay attention to how they voted. But because society is offended with them, they are too. I'm not just saying it's wrong, I'm saying it's dangerous. That person is a person that God loves just like you, even if they're wicked. Slandering people is not helpful. Tearing them down is not helpful either. Praying for them is biblical. And that's not popular. People say, well, I don't like him. He's against me. Or she's against me. Or she's wicked. And even if all that's true, then we have to forgive others. That's how, because God forgave us. Now let's change the dynamics. You're in a restaurant. A classy restaurant, and they sit next to your table, and the order's gonna take a while, so you have a few moments to talk, and they borrow salt from your table, and it's the same person you was aggravated with, and now you got a chance to meet them as a person. And if you dialogue a while, you'll find out that they're really not like the media said they were. And they're really not like, they're different than how people have portrayed them. They're just people with a family. And they have things in their mind and heart that they think is okay. Now some of the people that I vote against, even my friends agree with some of the things that they agree with. Even my family. And I love my family and I love my friends, all of them. Now, the people that I don't know are just like my family and friends. And the people that have I've been upset with the way they voted, but they have a reason they did it. And it was, I know it was inspired by Satan, but they may not. They may think it's okay. Now, let's change the dynamics some more. If they were around you enough, they'll seek the Lord in you. And they'll start trusting you with their concerns. Now, they did everything wrong. They voted on abortion. They did all the crazy things that you can do. That just makes you aggravated. It aggravates me. I don't like it. But I would be honest with them. But let's say that I was working on their vehicle. And sometimes when I work on people's vehicles, they come out and talk to me. And over time, they get to know me because I'm working on I'm going to their mansion working on their car. I'm not doing it, just saying this. Let's just change the dynamic a little bit. They're in some kind of situation where they get to know me or you personally. And they see Jesus in you. And they've been culture shocked at Jesus. But they see something in you that they hadn't seen before. And they start dialoguing. And they get in trouble and they ask you questions. Will you still be offended then? In other words, some people change, just like Joseph's brothers. Now they did him worse than most politicians did you. They put him in a dry well and left him there. And one of his brothers was gonna go get him out and take him and rescue him to his father. But before he got back, his other 9 brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites, who sold him to the Egyptians. And they saw how their sin hurt their father. And they saw what they did was wrong. And they thought about the way that they disconnected him from his mother. And they saw all the people, even their mothers, were sad because Joseph was not there. And they all cried. And they knew what happened to him. And they lied for years. They lied for years. And then they changed. And then when they ended up going to Egypt to be rescued from the drought because Egypt had corn, because Joseph told them how to do it, they ran into somebody they did not expect. And he didn't reveal himself. And he found out that they had changed. They were not the same brothers who threw him in that pit and sold him in slavery. His own brother sold him into slavery. Now, most of us have not had that problem, even from our politicians. They didn't physically sell you into slavery. They may have done some things you didn't like. They may have caused your taxes to be high. But they didn't sell you overseas somewhere into slavery. Not in this generation. So it's important for us to forgive people. When we forgive people, they have a chance to rebuild their life in our eyes, not just in God's eyes. But if we hold bitterness, the enemy can use our bitterness and anger as a tool and as a weapon against them and us. So when we value people, I had to learn these concepts. He taught me how to value the life of other people, just like God values me. And the more I valued others, the more I had charity towards others, love, and I wanted to represent Christ to everybody as a priest would do. As I learned to do those things, I learned to appreciate people. I saw people heal. It took time, but I saw people's lives transform because of kindness, the love of God working through even me. And it's humbling. Now, when I first got saved and I learned the principles of God that I have to forgive or God won't forgive me, I started forgiving people that aggravated me. I had childhood enemies. One of them, I was scared to fight him because I might kill him. And I didn't want to kill anybody, but I was so angry with him. I had so much bitterness against him. If I got in a fight, I may have killed him. And I didn't want to think like that, so I worked on it. My mother taught me not to hate people. But before I was a Christian, I did work on it. But after I was a Christian, I forgave him. And I'm glad my mother taught me that way, because I had a restraint. I had a form of restraint because she taught me that God wants us to love each other. And even as a sinner, I trusted that word. And I didn't want to think better thoughts. I didn't want to, but I did, but I didn't want to. And then there were a lot of things I didn't act on. I almost acted on some things. And my mother was praying for me. My father was praying for me. They didn't know some of the things that went on. They didn't know that I thought about hurting folks. Because if you make a person mad, if they don't have a restraint, they will hurt people. They will do things they shouldn't do. And I wanted to be a true person. I had the desire, but I didn't have the strength. Now that I'm saved, I had the desire and the strength in a super way. Now, once I got saved, I thought of every scenario that would make me angry. I thought about how my people were slaves and how they were brought from Africa to here to America. I thought about how they felt. The people that, I saw the movie Roots, I saw how slaves were treated. And I said, well, I gotta forgive those people too. I thought about it. I said, well, I forgive them. God forgave me. I did things I'm not proud of, so I forgive all the slave owners that captured my family, my ancestors. And it was important. Now, something happened when I did that. That may sound unusual to some, but that's precisely what I did, and I meant it. And I did it because that's what the word of God required. And some people don't think that far back, but unconfessed forgiveness is not good for us. We have to forgive. Now, I said I forgive everybody. It's like a man shooting a shotgun. You know, when you shoot a scatter gun, you shoot whatever's in the path of those BBs, those shots, those buck shots. But when I thought about things precisely, I forgave the people that aggravated my life as well. And I realized that everybody has come short of the glory of God. They've done things they shouldn't. They said things they shouldn't. The enemy deceived them. And I focused my anger on Satan because he was behind all of the demise of men. He did it systematically and slow. And they were no match for his wits. They were no match for his devices. And now people are ashamed that their ancestors enslaved others. And they're ashamed at the way things have gone. And you know, if you forgive, you give people a chance to grow and develop in your eyes. And they're not as evil as Satan said they were. In fact, I don't seek race, I see people with potential. And God loves every person on the planet just like he loves me. And the revelation that he loves me grows when I walk in that kind of forgiveness. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in your life, teach you all the wonderful things you want to know. If you can take him at his word on greater levels, he can do greater things in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.